James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Yesterday, Chuck gave us a little title for his message. He said, "Pray big." So I thought I'd throw in my two bits and coin a phrase. Be doers. James 1:18-22. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore? Wherefore, wherefore? Because he begat us with the word of truth, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, again in verse 21, relating back to verse 18 again, because he begat us with the word of truth, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This morning, for those of you that are taking notes, we're going to have a three-point message. One of the rare times in my life I've done this. First point is understanding God's Word. The second point is appropriating God's Word. And the third point is experiencing God's Word. Recently, I've been doing a little reading in a book called The Man Jesus. Some of you have probably seen this. If you haven't, I would highly recommend it for some enjoyable reading. It's the four Gospels all put together in a chronological order of events on the life of Jesus Christ. And so all the four Gospels are meshed together, giving one chronological rendering of his life. Matthew 22:23, this, if I can find it, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they often let him know how much they knew about the Word. And so one day he took them to task, and in the 22nd chapter, he deals with them on this question, whose son is the Messiah? And they said, he's to be David's son. And he said, well then, tell me, why did David call him Lord? And they had no answer. And this is what follows that. It may be all right to do what they say, but above anything else, don't follow their example. For they don't do what they tell you to do. They load you with the impossible demands that they themselves don't even try to keep. All they do is done for show. They don't do what they tell you to do. In Matthew 13, Jesus is talking to the disciples again, to the Pharisees again, and he says this, "This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. They hear, but don't understand. They look, but don't see. For their hearts are fat and heavy, and their ears are dull, and they have closed their eyes in sleep, so that they won't see and hear and understand and turn to God again, that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly many a prophet and godly man longed to see what you have seen, and hear what you have heard, but couldn't." They hear, but don't understand. Another passage in Mark 7, I just decided to read a few excerpts from this because it's kind of interesting reading. Jesus replied again to the Pharisees. He said, "You bunch of hypocrites, Isaiah the prophet described you very well when he said, 'These people speak very pretty about the Lord, but they have no love for him at all. Their worship is a farce, for they claim that God commands the people to obey their petty rules.' How right Isaiah was, for you ignore God's specific words and orders and substitute your own traditions. You are beautifully rejecting God's laws and trampling them under your feet for the sake of your traditions. And in Matthew 17, just one more, in this story, Jesus is taking Peter, James, and John up the mountainside with him, and he's transfigured. And then all of a sudden come Moses and Elijah. And Peter gets a bright idea. He says, Lord, let me build three tabernacles. And all of a sudden, out booms his voice. This is the way he puts it in here. This is my beloved son, and I am wonderfully pleased with him. Listen to him. Obey him. Many of us, because of the great heritage we have, and those that have helped us, have had a lot of help in regular devotions and study habits of the Word of God. But there's a lot of difference between gaining a lot of knowledge of God's Word and gaining an understanding of God's Word. When you gain the understanding of God's Word, it becomes yours. It's not just facts and events. It's part of your life. A few years ago, I was meditating on a passage I'd memorized a few years. Matthew 11:28. Most of you know that one. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Boy, I used that one a lot. But I had 29 and 30 memorized also, and it never occurred to me that I didn't know what it meant. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, I thought about that for quite some time before I started getting some application to my brain and heart on that. Take my yoke upon you. Well, I've got uncles that are on the farm, and I recalled one incident when I was out on the farm with my uncle with a hay rack, and we were haying, and one of the horses was kind of lagging behind. And so my uncle said, well, we're going in. And so on the way in, he explained to me that the one horse, the healthy horse, had been doing all the pulling. And the other horse was lagging behind. And he said, you know, that if we wouldn't take this sick horse off this thing, the healthy horse would kill himself pulling this load, because he would make up for the sick horse. And I thought of that illustration, that we're yoked up with Jesus Christ. He's here and I'm here. And we're plowing together. We're pulling this load together. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And we really learn about people when we work with them, don't we? When we're in the battle with them. When we pray with them. When you've got guys living in your home, you really get to know those guys. And Jesus says, learn of me. Yoke up with me. We'll pull this thing together. And this is what you're going to learn. You're going to learn meekness. You're going to learn humility. And I'm going to give you peace. Well, you know, there are a lot of passages like that that you and I don't understand. We've heard them. We've heard messages on them. But they've never become yours. And until they become yours, I don't think you have an understanding of that passage. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. And I won't get off on that at this point. But I would recommend, for some of you that might like to do a very exciting Bible study sometime, to do a Bible study just in the book of Proverbs on understanding. You'll find about 57 verses with that word in it, and you'll be excited to see what the many passages have to say about that word. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Point two, appropriating God's word. Now in James 1, we'll return to that a little bit, and we'll start at verse 22 again. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now we're talking about a changed life. And we have the tendency to be like this guy that stands before this mirror, and we get a pretty good image of ourselves. And once in a while we come to the Word and it kind of convicts us, but we get back at this image of ourselves again, and we ramble off and we forget what manner of man we really are. And the reason is because we aren't appropriating God's Word to our daily life. Because God's Word would reveal to us very clearly what we are, day by day. We would never get very proud. Matthew 7:24, Jesus gives an illustration, many of you are familiar with. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Heareth my words and doeth them. I'll read another passage from here. This is Matthew 16, verse 25. Jesus said, anyone who wants to follow me must put aside his own desires and conveniences and carry his cross with him every day and keep close to me. Now, these are our objectives. We want to follow Christ with our whole hearts. And to do this, to follow Christ with our whole hearts, means to give up our desires, give up our conveniences, and carry his cross. Or, as he puts in many other places, we need to be willing to die to self, that we might be encompassed with the person of Jesus Christ. In John 10:17-18, Jesus says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And I think we have the same choice. You have the choice to lay your life down, or you have the choice to hang on to your life. But only as the Word of God is appropriated to your life will you have the power, the will, the desire to lay your life down. And then the last part of this, and he says, and keep close to me. Some of us know James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And boy, we go charging off every now and then, and we decide, boy, you know, we make different prayers unto God. We commit things to him, and we try to cleanse our hands, and we try to purify our hearts. But we forget to draw nigh to God. It's interesting that James put it in that order. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Then you'll be able to cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Philippians 1:27 says, but whatever happens, make sure that your everyday life is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Psalm 25:14 says, friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them alone he shares the secrets of his promises. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want God to reveal to us the secrets, the meat of his word. In Joshua 23:11, it's interesting to me that one of Joshua's last commands to his men was not a last batch of orders on how to run the camp, but his last command was, "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." Along with everything else that you're doing, take good heed unto yourself that ye love the Lord your God. A couple days ago, I was talking to a friend, and he indicated that he had just read several chapters that morning in his devotions, and then he said, "You know, I had to go back, and I had to read it again to find out what I'd read." Well, we've all done that. But there isn't much meaning in reading the Word like that. And that's, I think, what I'm trying to get at, is when we search the Word, that we search it with the intention of appropriating it to our lives. As a man's time in God's Word, so the man. And your men will be just like you. We've got some promises going on that. Hosea 4:9 says, "And there shall be like people, like priests." And your men are going to have a hunger and a consistency in God's Word, just like you do. And it's pretty easy to let slip, isn't it? It's pretty easy to let a lot of other things come in. Zechariah 10:7. Says, "And their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and rejoice. Their heart shall be glad in the Lord." And your men and your gals are watching your life. And if you are walking a victorious walk in Christ with the Word saturating your life, your thoughts, your actions, your men and your gals are going to be the same way. If you're depressed and you're kind of struggling, more than likely, most of your people are going to be struggling. If you're living in victory, your gang will be living in victory. And as you set the pace in appropriating God's Word to your life, not just knowing it, but understanding it and appropriating it, so your gang will learn to appropriate it. And a lot of it through the teaching of osmosis. It just happens. It's a spiritual thing. Coach Leahy, years ago, I read an article. He used to have a plaque on his desk. One of the greatest coaches of all times, I guess. Is that right, Ken? About 8 years of great teams at Notre Dame. And this plaque read, "As now, so then." Somebody asked him once, "What does that mean?" He says, "Well, it means on Friday afternoon we go out for our last practice. And I watch my men, I watch my quarterback, and I watch to see if he really, really does everything he can to get rid of that ball and to hit that pass receiver. He says, I watch my end, and I watch to see if he lunges for that ball or if he's a little reluctant so he doesn't get hurt so he can play the next day. He said, as now, so then." And boy, Satan deceives us a lot of times. And we say, well, this week was kind of a bad one, but next week. Or today was a pretty bad day, but tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And that's Satan's. That's him speaking. Jesus says, today is the day of salvation. Today, today, always today. Now is the accepted time. It's awful easy to let that slip. But as now, so then. And as your practice right now, so you're going to be 10 years from now. Caleb said, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." 40 years later, he says, "I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago." And I think there are reasons for that. And I believe that you're going to be as strong in principle 40 years from now or 20 years from now as you are right now. And if you're hungering after the Word, and if it's got a major part in your life, and you're learning now to appropriate the Word to your life, 20 years from now you're going to be doing it more. But if you've got things that are squeezing it out now, 20 years from now you might not be around. Third point is experience. Mark 4:20 through 24. I'll read this in the Living Gospels. But the good soil represents the heart of those who truly accept God's message and produce a plentiful harvest for God, 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was planted in their hearts. Then he asked them, when someone lights a lamp, does he put a box over it to shut out the light? Or, of course not. The light couldn't be seen or used. A lamp is placed on a stand to shine and be useful. All that is now hidden will someday come to light. If you have ears, listen. And he has in mind their understanding ears. Because the Pharisees heard all this stuff. And Jesus often, when he said, if you've got ears to hear, hear. If you've got eyes to see, see. And that's what he meant. And I believe that message is to you and me. And be sure to put into practice what you hear. The more you do this, the more you will understand what I tell you. The more you understand, the more you put into practice. The more you put into practice, the more you understand. The greater you grow in faith and in love and in relationship with Christ. The Israelites at one point came to their leaders and they said, Now we believe all these things that happened to our great fathers. We believe that they went across the sea. We believe that Aaron's rod budded. We believe that Jericho was taken. We believe all these things. But we haven't seen God do this for us. And boy, as Jack has shared a lot of his experiences, if you and I relied on his experiences, we'd never have any. But he's given examples of experiences that we can have. And if we don't have those experiences ourselves, we'll be superficial and powerless. John 4:42, I like this illustration where Jesus had been talking to the woman at the well, and she goes back to her city and she proclaims this one Jesus. And so these guys are some pretty smart guys there. They decide not to just listen to her. They go and see Jesus. And when they come back, this is what they say. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And the reason they had that conviction was because they had the experience of seeing him and hearing him. And I think that too often, I share a little bit too much with my gang, and I don't help them learn how to have these experiences themselves. We talk about some of the days when we were eating Wheaties several days in a row. I wouldn't trade those days for anything in the whole world, but God help me that I keep my men from doing that. They've got to have those experiences because it's there that they really see the reality of their relationship with Jesus Christ and him doing this for them and not relying on the great experiences that Dawson Trotman had or Moses had. There's a pretty good example. Well, somebody once said they believe that Doss may one day be noted as a prophet to his generation. That might be true. Matthew 22:29, Jesus again is talking to the Pharisees, and he answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Now they really prided themselves about knowing the scriptures. So what he's saying is, you don't really know the scriptures because they're not a part of you. You don't understand them. And you've never experienced them. Because you don't know what the power of God is. You've never experienced the power of God. God help me that I not rob my men and gals from learning what the power of God is like. It's the illustration of the preacher and the lawyer. I've got about 3 minutes left. I've got two more points. I'm going to be right on time. First time in my life. The preacher and the lawyer, the lawyer had come over for some help, some counsel by the preacher, and sat in the preacher's office, and he asked the preacher some questions, and the preacher answered his questions, and then the lawyer would say, well, where do you find that? The preacher would say, well, it's right here somewhere. Well, I'll have to look that up. I can tell you next Sunday. So then they'd get on another point, and the lawyer would say, well, where's that? And he says, well, it's over here in the New Testament. I think it's in the Gospels. Let's see. After fumbling, well, I'll look that one up too for you. And so this lawyer said, Pastor, would you come to my office with me? So they went over to the lawyer's office. This is supposed to have happened. And as they sat down in his office, he said, Pastor, see all these books in my office? He said, take any book, and you just tell me the date, and I'll tell you the case, who was involved, and what the solution was. Any book. And the pastor didn't get up, and he said, Pastor, you've only got one book, and you don't even have it mastered. Quite a challenge. How well do you have the most precious gift that we have? God's precious word. The instrument he uses to change our lives. You know, I'm in John 20, 30 and 31, one of the closing statements by John. He says, Jesus' disciples saw him do many miracles besides the ones told about in this book. But these are recorded so that you will believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you will have life. And this book was written for you. And for me. And God's plan was for us to get to know Jesus through this book. You know, I've reached way back into one of the first verses I ever memorized to claim as my verse for this year. It's almost a little humbling, I guess. It was in the IR pack years ago. A lot of you never even saw those. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's my goal this year. That preeminent in my life will be to seek Jesus Christ through his word, through prayer, through fellowship. Let's have just a word of prayer. Our Father, we pray that you'd create in our hearts an unquenchable yearning for your word. And help us, Lord, help us to have the understanding that only you can give us. Help us, Lord, to have hearts desirous of appropriating your instructions to our lives. And then, God, we pray that you'd give us experiences in your word that would make us giants for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.